Growing up in the Soviet Union, our guest today knew she was doing something illegal and dangerous. Nevertheless, she continued on, knowing it could determine the eternal destiny of many. Stay with us as we learn more about the activities of this brave woman right here on Revival for a Mission. Watching Revival for Mission, and today we're talking about persecution, the moments where governments and other powerful forces do everything they can to hinder the growth of Christianity and this saving message of Jesus. Pastor Wilson, this has not been a new phenomena. This has been happening for a while.
Well, in fact, Pastor Sam, this is from the origin of time when sin came into this world. There's always been this antagonism and all kinds of challenges, and the devil wanting to have control over God's people who were faithful. And then, of course, Christ himself, he was explaining when he was here on this earth, Matthew 24, saying, you know, that nation will rise up against nation. There are going to be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And, of course, this is talking about the time of the end. And then he says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You know, this could really scare people. This could bring discouragement to people. This could say, well, is it worth it to be a follower of the Lord? But I want to tell you, the Lord gives us such encouragement because he knows we're going to go through these things. He went through the greatest tribulation, and he depended on his Father. Our guest for today is going to be telling us about some of these persecution aspects and how God blessed in miraculous ways. I think it's a powerful testimony and witness that each of us can understand God will take us through. And now listen to this beautiful music that'll bring encouragement to your heart in whatever you're facing today.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for a Mission. Our guest today did some illegal activities in the former Soviet Union. She knew it was dangerous, but the salvation of many was at stake. Galina Shteli, welcome to Revival for Mission. What was it like being in the in this environment where preaching the Bible and talking about God was illegal?
Yeah, it was interesting, first of all, I think. But also, we had a lot of experiences and a lot of providence, I think, by the Lord. So I grew up mostly in Almaty, although I was born in Kamchatka. This is across Alaska. So in Kamchatka, because my parents lived and worked there at the time when I was born, we were the only Adventist family. But when we moved to Almaty, where my grandparents lived, so there was a congregation, and a congregation with really interesting history. For example, when Stalin's repressions were, about 1934, this congregation counted some 40 people. And in 1937, 35 people were arrested. And you can imagine that what family went through. And out of these 35, many were sent to Siberia. Three people were executed. A church treasurer disappeared, and nobody knew anything about the person after that. So people who were sent to Siberia to labor camps, 12 of them died there because of mistreatment, starvation, hard work, but some returned. So I grew up in this congregation. Of course, I grew up later, about four decades later. And there were like waves of repressions, then waves of relative freedom, waves of repressions, and again, relative religious freedom. So I was lucky to live and be there when it was not so much persecution, although mm-hmm. the religious freedom was still restricted.
Now, just to talk a little bit about daily life or weekly life.
Yes.
You've indicated during that time it was not as difficult as other periods.
Yes.
So were you able to go to church? Now, you mentioned this group that you were at. What kind of experience was that? What happened at church? How did people encourage each other for the coming week?
Yeah, actually, local congregations were very active. We had so many church services, many more than I have right now, for example, because we met Friday evening to meet the Sabbath together and have regular church worship. We met also Sabbath morning. We met Sabbath afternoon and Sunday evening in church building or in private house that was dedicated to church services. And during the week, we also had choir rehearsals, Sabbath school lessons, study guide for the teachers, and sometimes youth meetings and other activities. So basically, all our life was around the church and church life. So I would say that although we were religious group that was in minority in the country, but still we were kept worshiping the Lord. We met regularly, more than once a week. And we did as much as possible to serve the people and also the church.
I understand you gave some Bible studies to children as well whilst you were still a child.
Oh, yes, it's an interesting story. My mom, she was by profession, primary school teacher, she was. Mm-hmm. But when she became an Adventist, she lost her job. So she could never work as a primary teacher again. But in every place we lived, or when my father went to church ministry, my mother organized Bible studies for kids. Mm. And actually, I know some people who said that she brought them to Jesus through these Bible studies, Bible classes for kids.
Wonderful.
And sometimes when she was not able, I replaced her. So I had some experience with this also, when once we had a meeting in our home and my parents were away and my mom asked me to replace her and police came to check on us. So it was kind of scary. But, we had children. I had a book, opened and we had also Bible on the table and a hymnal. And police came with a lady who was supervising the religious denomination in that town. So she knew my father, she knew our church, and she came together with police. But they saw that parents are not there. So they asked us what we are doing, and I told them we are reading the book. And we also celebrated birthdays.
Yes.
And that month we also had some birthdays, so we always have like had cookies and tea, you know, just if somebody comes. So we have like celebration of birthdays. And then one policeman began to look through the books that were on the table, and he said to her, look at that. They have the Bible. They have hymnals here. What's that? And she said, but what did you expect to find in a pastor's home?
Mm-hmm.
And she actually initiated so that they can leave quickly, could leave quickly. And she said, okay, let's go away because parents are not at home. This is just children. But let your father know that he needs to see me tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So this was experience from which one of the experiences.
Now, you've mentioned your parents. You've
yes.
mentioned your mother, your father. And I had the privilege of meeting them and of knowing your father, working with your father. Your father was a church leader, different fields, pastor. He was also a specialist in animal care.
Yes.
And I know you said you were born in Kamchatka, which is a huge peninsula in the Russian Far East. And he was there helping to manage various aspects of animal care and husbandry and that kind of thing. But explain a little bit how your father was able to cope with so many challenges as a pastor and church leader and remain so strong in the Lord, because I know him and he is just a solid person for Jesus.
Yes. Oh, of course, it's, you know, many things could be said about my father and my parents. I was blessed to have such wonderful family and such wonderful parents. My father, I think that he had a strong faith that not only that God exists, but he's coming soon. And he would like, that God would like us to be used by him to let other people to know about this event that is, you know, he's coming soon. He
Amen.
Has saved us. So I think he had this strong conviction. And he said that his parents also played a great role in his faith. So, but at that time, any pastor was obliged to work for the state as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they cannot just work for the church. So my father kind of combined work for the state and work for the church. But because of that, I think he had also many connections to the people that lived around us. And so he worked in Almaty, he worked at zoo, and where children visited zoo so often.
Mm-hmm.
I know many stories about animals. And also we connected to people, and my father was very respected man there as well. And he also could invite people to the church, and he also could witness at his workplace. I think it helped him also that he was like 100% working for the society and 100% working for the church. But I think his parents and maybe also his personal conviction that God exists and he's coming, it's made a difference in his life.
That's beautiful. And so there's such a thing as even zoo evangelism. And the Lord gives you all kinds of contacts.
Yes.
And through all of these experiences, you can tell them about the creator of all of these animals. But let me focus on something else. You, as a young person, were involved in producing books that were deemed illegal at the time in the Soviet Union setting. What a fascinating experience that must have been, because you knew you were doing something that was not accepted by the authorities, and yet you were compelled to do something to share religious literature and beautiful experiences with people so their hearts would be drawn to Jesus. Tell us about that experience.
Yes, I was not alone, first of all. It was many people who did that. And I would say that church created a network of people who were involved in producing, publishing religious literature. I would like to show you some faces. You know, in 1999, the publishing house of Eurasia Division, they published in Adventist Review in Russian language at least some pictures of people who also, you know, were typists.
These are heroes of God, aren't they?
Heroes of God. And you can see here, this person is Valentina Mikityuk. Her husband also was involved in that. And he was a bookbinder. And he also, distributed literature. And he also kind of provided paper. And he had connections with some publishing houses, state publishing houses. And we sometimes could find some friends there that could help with the paper and also sometimes even with printing. Her husband spent 6 years in prison for that ministry. And around the time, I started also with my sisters to type. And, many spouses and children in pastoral families, they did that because you cannot just ask somebody to do that because this is a legal activity. And, it was interesting experience actually for me as a teenager because I got connected to the books of Ellen White through the typing then.
Uh-huh.
And I also typed some commentaries. And actually, I have here a commentary. I did not type it, somebody else. And this is commentary on the book of Revelation. And recently, my husband, when he returned from one of the countries of the former Soviet Union, where his father served as a pastor. So pastors presented him this surprise. They say, this book was used by your father. And there is a name of your father, my father-in-law, here written, and it was in his library, and it was typed. So, it was very interesting for me to get it for our family. I and my sisters were typed, and we need to be cautious. We need to put pillows or blankets under the typewriter so that the sound of typing would not be heard, on the street. You need also sometimes to cover also windows or to do something so that you people could not hear or see you through the windows. Some people typed in the basement. Some people typed, during special hours when the noise would not be so disturbing for the neighbors. So some people were in prison for that, but I and my sisters were fortunate. So in our congregation, it did not happen.
And I let's explore this typing a little bit because there are some people watching this who's never seen a typewriter before. So typewriters are like computers, but they make a lot of noise. And this is a Cyrillic language typewriter, and being illegal, you cannot have people discover these books and the source of them. And it just occurred to me as I'm listening to you, Galina, that the truth in these books is so powerful, it could topple empires.
Yeah.
And the empire knew this. The Soviet Union knew this. So they had to make it illegal. And now we all have access to these books on our phones. We can read it. We can download it. And in fact, we have such access that many people don't. Yes. So here is an appeal to those that are listening. At the time, this was very difficult to reproduce and to get to other people. Today, it is freely available. And we should all be exposed to this constantly because we have the liberty, because we have the freedom. But we know we might not have that freedom for long. So make use of it as much as you can now. Can you show us some more of these books?
Yes, I would like to show you some examples. So this is not only, Ellen G. White books were typed or commentaries, but also of other Adventist authors. For example, this one by Morris Wendon. Salvation by Faith or Justification by Faith. And you can see that you can hardly read it. Because every time we typed, we produced several copies at
once. How did that work?
So we need to have carbon paper.
Carbon paper.
And also such kind of thin paper so that you can produce at once, like from 7 till 9, sometimes even 10, copies.
So you need to really,
really,
really
strongly.
These are manual typewriters.
Right.
These are not electric.
No keyboard.
No. And when you read it, you need to put a blank piece of paper so that you can read more or see more clearly. Uh-huh. But some, you know, so you are lucky if you kind of got the first or third copy so you can read it, you know, more clearly. But we were, it was precious to get any copy. So these are two volumes of Patriarch and Prophets.
Beautiful, beautiful. Them. Yeah.
Thank you.
By Ellen White. And this is a book on the Council of food, of healthy food. And this is, as I already mentioned, commentary to the book of Revelation. And some people, even, you know, they not only typed, but they also write, you know, with this is, you know, handwritten book. And this is early writings of Ellen White.
Wow.
And somebody did it in 1952. So this is really, I think, historical.
And people
copy.
Prized these books. They yes. guarded them. They yes. they used them. They yes. they would give their life for them.
Yes. And I remember when I was baptized, actually I was baptized by my father with a group of other people. So we received also typed copies. And I received Steps to Christ. It was not typed by me or my sisters, you know, by somebody else from the region. But I treasured it for so many years. So it was, you know, it was really a treasure.
Galina, it is impossible to imagine. It would have been impossible to imagine the freedom that we count on today
yes.
back in those days. We're going to find out in a few moments what you do today in your job. And it's very inspiring too. This is Revival for Mission. We'll be back in just a little bit to talk to Galina. Some more questions about what she does today. Don't go away.
Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord.
Welcome back. We're talking to Galina Shteli, who grew up in the former Soviet Union with great restrictions over how she could express and share her faith. Galina, what exactly do you do today?
Today, I am working at the General Conference Office of Archives, Statistics and Research, and I'm supervising global research projects that we're doing around the world in each division. So we're gathering statistical data, human subject research data, and we do that for strategic planning and for decision making. So it's really interesting to see and that this data actually shows how we're all united in spite of different cultures, in spite of different conditions, but we believe in the same Lord.
You know, it's marvelous how the Lord has led you into continued service for Him. From your past experience, mm-hmm. then of course you and your husband were vitally involved in what we call the Eurasia Division, mm-hmm. giving leadership. Now you're in this position. But you know, as you think back on the challenges, the persecution, the difficult restrictions mm-hmm. that you were placed under, and your parents and so many others, how would you encourage somebody right now who perhaps is watching or knows of somebody who is in a very difficult situation where they're actually being persecuted for their faith? How would you encourage that person from your personal experience? How would that come across to someone?
Right. This is very, very good question, actually. And I would like to say that, you know, one of my Bible verses that I like really much, this is Gospel of John, chapter 14, first three verses. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful promise and encouragement for me. I would like to share it with anybody who is suffering. And probably you remember that in King James Version, it starts, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Why? Because I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'm using now another version, free version of the Bible, and I read from it. Don't let your minds be anxious. Trust in God, trust in me as well. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If this was not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. Mm. And, you know, talking about my town or city where I grew up, Almaty, you know, the name is Fathers of Apples, if you translate it. And there are many kinds of different and delicious apples there. But every time I remember, when I remember my town, remember this name, I also remember another saying. And this saying also I would like to share as an encouragement. So someone said, anyone can count all seeds in one apple, but only God can count all apples in one seed. So I would like to say that you are seeds, God's seeds. And everything we do, these are seeds. And only God can count all apples in one seed. May God bless you, and may this encouragement be with you. Let not your heart be troubled. God is coming.
Galina, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your testimony and your stories. Elder Wilson, some final thoughts for us.
You know, friends, you've just heard an amazing explanation of how God used young people, older ones, to be firm and to understand that their reliance is not upon themselves but upon God, using wonderful materials and God-filled Bible prophecy and understanding to encourage themselves and others. You know that beautiful promise that the Lord is preparing places for us in heaven. Don't let your heart be troubled. The Lord will take care of you. Those kinds of things are so important for us today. For as we look to the future, we know things will become very difficult. I want to challenge you with this beautiful verse in Revelation chapter 2. And in verse 10, it says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. What an opportunity for us to rely on God's power, regardless of what you may be facing. And then in verse 25, Jesus says, but hold fast what you have till I come. What a beautiful promise that Jesus is coming soon. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever we will go through in the future, let's put our hand in God's hands and He will see us through. We'll see you again on Revival for Mission.